Thank you for your patience. Today I would like to talk to you about the role of nanoscale roughness and how that influences the adhesive interaction between a colloid and a solid surface, and how this can explain many observations that previously haven't been well characterized. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation and my funding through the USDA also. Now, colloids are important for many different environmental or industrial applications. And in the subsurface, we're interested in colloid transport in particular because of pathogenic microorganisms or antibiotic-resistant bacteria. But we also need to understand this for engineered nanoparticles and assessing the risk of these particles in the environment. It also controls things like colloid-facilitated transport and permeability alterations in the subsurface and a variety of remediation procedures. So today I want to focus primarily on nanoscale heterogeneities. And these are ubiquitous in natural systems. And these figures show atomic force microscopy image of a soil surface and a SEM image of a soil surface. And you can see that there's lots of nanoscale heterogeneity that occurs on these surfaces. Now, chemical heterogeneity may also occur as a result of adsorption of divalent cations, organics, clays, and metal oxides as well. And today I'll be focusing on the role of these heterogeneities on the adhesive interaction. Now, nanoscale roughness also influences the lever arms that act on the torques. And we're not going to talk about that today, though. So, normally the adhesive interaction is derived from interaction energies that are calculated from DLVO theory, which considers electrostatic interactions and van der Waals interaction. And sometimes these DLVO interactions are extended to include other forces, such as Born repulsion. And that's what we consider for our interaction energies. But we also extend this to account for nanoscale roughness and chemical heterogeneity within the zone of adhesive influence. And so basically this is a zone of adhesive influence, and we can consider binary chemical and physical heterogeneity within this zone of adhesive influence. And we do this by describing the interaction energy as a linear combination of the different types of heterogeneity within this zone of adhesive influence. And initially we account for the chemical heterogeneity, and then we account for the physical heterogeneity. Now, these type of calculations have been validated against surface integration methods for calculating the heterogeneity on these heterogeneous surfaces. And more recently, we have extended this to account for both nanoscale roughness and chemical heterogeneity on both the solid water interface and on a colloid. And so you can think of a colloid, for example, a microorganism can have different types of surface structures on that can lead to this type of heterogeneity we see on the colloid. So we account for both binary physical and chemical heterogeneity on both of these surfaces and extend the approach previously to now account for a linear combination of all the different types of heterogeneity on the surface. First, we account for the chemical heterogeneities, and then we account for the physical heterogeneities. And each of these contributions are weighed by the fraction of the heterogeneity within the zone of adhesive influence. And so now I present some calculations of the interaction energy for these various heterogeneity combinations. And what's really nice about this is that we can look at this step by step, the effect of chemical heterogeneity, the effect of nanoscale roughness on different surfaces to get an idea of what's controlling the adhesive interaction. And what we see here is we see the interaction energy as a function of separation distance for different types of heterogeneity combination. The first one is for a homogeneous case on both surfaces. And this is for a cryptosporidiomycosis, which is a pathogenic microorganism in an aqueous solution that has ionic strength of 10 millimolar. And you see, in this case, if we use measured zeta potentials and Hamaker constants for the oocysts, we have a large energy barrier that prevents the oocysts from getting very close to the surface. And so the oocysts can only interact at a large separation distance from the surface in a shallow secondary minima, just a weak minima. But if we consider the influence of different heterogeneities, where here are the roughness heterogeneity factors that we considered a small amount of roughness and different heights of less than 25 nanometers and chemical heterogeneity parameters of less than 2.5% of positively charged sites on both the oocysts and on the solid water interface, we can get very different behavior depending on the heterogeneity. We can start to lower the energy barrier when we consider just chemical heterogeneity on both. But to eliminate the energy barrier, we have to consider this nanoscale roughness on either the solid water interface or the colloid, and then we get a very very minor energy barrier and a deep primary minima. So very strongly is held in this primary minima. But if we consider nanoscale roughness on both the oocysts and on the solid water interface, we eliminate the energy barrier, and now we have a shallow primary minima interaction. And if we compare this when we consider both chemical heterogeneity and nanoscale roughness, we see that the interaction energy profiles are nearly identical. And so this indicates the nanoscale roughness is controlling the interaction energy, and the chemical heterogeneity has a secondary role. Now, this is further explored in these interaction energy profiles when we consider wider ranges of chemical heterogeneity on the solid water interface. And we do this for the case of when we have chemical heterogeneity on both surfaces, or the combination of chemical heterogeneity and nanoscale roughness on both surfaces. And what you see here is on the smooth surface, as you increase the fraction of chemical heterogeneity, it lowers the energy barrier in a systematic fashion. But when you have nanoscale roughness, you see that chemical heterogeneity does not have much of an influence at all, and that the interaction energy is described by the nanoscale roughness. Now, I don't know what the music means, but hopefully it's enjoyable music. And so we did this for a wide range of nanoscale roughness parameters, and this is what we show here is the nanoscale roughness height went from 0 to 80 nanometers, and we assumed that the roughness was the same on both the solid water interface and on the oocysts. And then we also varied the fraction of roughness on the solid water interface and the oocysts between 0.01 and 1. And we now look at interaction energy parameters, the depth of the primary minima, the energy barrier height, and the depth of the secondary minima. And what you see is that depending on the roughness parameters, you have big changes in the interaction energy profiles. And what you notice is that it's very sensitive when you have small fractions of roughness on the surface, and that the height also has an important role, but a less significant role than the roughness fraction. So now we want to see not only the influence of roughness on the interaction energies, we want to see how this influences colloid retention. And in order to do this, we have to consider the energy balance or the torque balance, or the combination of both. In this work, we only consider the energy balance, which is we're looking at the role of diffusion relative to adhesion. And so we quantify the influence of diffusion on the colloid by using a probability density function shown here. This is a Maxwellian probability density function, and we can also express this as a cumulative density function using this expression here. And from this, and different integration limits that are obtained from our interaction energy profiles, we can determine the probability of a colloid being immobilized in the presence of diffusion, or the probability of being released as a result of diffusion. And so this is what we show here, the probability of immobilization in the primary minima and the probability of release plotted as a function of the energy barrier height or the depth of the primary minima. And what you see here is that when you get above a certain threshold in either the energy barrier or the depth of the primary minima, then it drastically affects these probabilities. So in order to have immobilization to occur, you have to consider both of these conditions, the probability of being immobilized and the probability of being released. And that's reflected in this beta term here. And these are Heaviside functions that are related to this critical probability that is set equal to 5.6 to be reflective of this curve here. And so what this beta term tells us is that we will have irreversible retention occurring when beta is equal to 1, and when beta is equal to 0, we'll have reversible retention occurring. And so here we show plots for the same oocysts and the same solution chemistry for these different roughness conditions, the value of epsilon 1, which is the probability to be immobilized in the primary minima. This is epsilon 2, the probability to be immobilized in a secondary minima. And this beta 1, which is the probability of irreversible immobilization. And what you see here is that you can get both reversible and irreversible retention occurring, depending on the roughness parameters. And you also see that only a fraction of the roughness will contribute to irreversible retention. And in fact, irreversible retention in a secondary minima does not occur. Now, we can look at this for different colloid sizes, for a nanoparticle size, or for the oocyst. And what you see is that depending on the size of the colloid, you have different roughness fractions that are contributing to irreversible colloid immobilization. Now, this is important for design considerations, because in industry, if you can control the roughness, now you can selectively remove a certain colloid size. So this has important industrial applications. Now, it also can be used to explain many observations that we couldn't explain previously. So here we see the value of beta 1 for different solution chemistries when ionic strength is 1 millimolar or 10 millimolar or 100 millimolar. And what you see is that this irreversible retention occurs on different roughness fractions as you increase ionic strength, and that more roughness fractions will contribute as ionic strength is increased. But something interesting is that even at 100 millimolar, when you have no energy barrier, you only get a small, relatively small fraction of the roughness conditions that will contribute to immobilization. Now, also, we can do this for another organism, a pathogenic E. coli, for the different ionic strengths. And I want to point out, we see the opposite case as we increase ionic strength. We actually see that the roughness conditions that contribute to irreversible retention actually decreases with increasing ionic strength. And in fact, we observe that we get decreasing retention with increasing ionic strength for this organism. And previously, this has been attributed to electrostatic repulsion. But what these results indicate is that nanoscale roughness can provide alternative explanation. So in conclusion, nanoscale roughness controls the adhesive interaction. It can explain why we have only a small fraction of the solid surface that contributes to immobilization during under favorable conditions. And it can also explain behavior that's previously been attributed to electrostatic repulsion. And I don't know if we have time for questions or not, but thanks for your attention.